We are going to go live. I'd like to welcome you to the Heart of Christ Church, where we are continuing in our sermon series, the I Am's of John, that Jesus spoke to us. And this sermon is titled, I Am the True Vine. Now, I think it's amazing that Jesus picked that word. He said, not that I'm just a vine, I am the true vine. Because that is delineating something beyond what anybody else can say. We can say, I am a vine. Jesus says, I am the true vine. And what does he mean by that? Why is he using such an adjective to justify who he is? Because in our lives, all of us grow and go the way we want to go. Can I get an amen on that? We have a way of life, and we want to be found in it, and we want to be doing what we want to do. We want to be this wild thing out there that's growing and doing its thing apart from everybody else. Now, sometimes our lives intersect with others and get intertwined with it, but we're still our own little vine, right? Wrong. Because we have no root. We have no way of holding anything together, and we have no way of producing anything unto eternity. We need to remember that as a wild vine, we have been just simply cast out upon the world. And we're not going to grow any kind of good eternal fruit. There is only one eternal being, and he is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And if we're not part of that vine, then we are a wild vine, and all it is used for is to be collected up and put into the fire to be burned. And that is a truth in the spiritual world. It's a truth that our world does not want to hear, but we're going to hear it today. Turn in your Bibles, if you will, please, to John in chapter 15. We're going to be looking at verses 1 through 4 as our beginning point. And then we're going to move on from there. In John chapter 15, verses 1 through 4, we read these words as according to our Lord. For the Lord himself spoke and said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, so that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. Blessed be the word of our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus here is using a picture for Israel and for us that is very vivid in the minds of the people of the time. Now, probably not so much so for us today because we aren't an agrarian society, at least not as much as they were back in that day, 2,000 years ago. For Jesus to speak of a vine and a vine dresser, every one of the Jewish community that was there would have understood that because winemaking was a big part of their lives. Everybody made wine. It's always been said that, you know, the water wasn't so good, so they drank a lot of wine. Well, there's truth to that, okay? The water wasn't that good, and they did drink a lot of wine because the water that was used for the wine, the alcohol in it would kill the germs and what have you, and it was safer to drink. But at the same token, the vine is a symbol of God's benefit unto the world. When we think about Israel, if you go back to the book of Isaiah, you'll find that in chapter 5 of the book of Isaiah, that God there speaks of Israel being a vineyard, an entire vineyard that has gone awry. And God literally destroys the vineyard, okay? And if you think about Israel, that's exactly what he did. He put Israel into exile. And therefore, he wiped that entire vineyard out. But the root was still there. You see, this is one of the things that we need to understand about vines and about vineyards. Some of the greatest vineyards in the world are in the Middle East and in France and Europe. And some of the roots are hundreds of years old. They've been ingrafted so many times with new vines into that root system that some of those roots, as I've said, they've been on the mountainsides for centuries. But the plants that are growing off of them are fairly new as they continue to ingraft new species or new offshoots of grapes into that root, that stalk, that eternal force that keeps drawing up from the depths and giving life. That's our God. When we think of Jesus and him speaking that he is the true vine, he doesn't say that he's the root, does he? He says, I am the true vine, and we are the branches. And if we're going to bear fruit, we need to abide in him. Now, that's an awesome word. I love the word abide. Because when we think about being Christians, we are to abide in the Lord. When we think about being part of Christ, this is where we have to say, okay, we can be our own selves. We can be that vine that's out there doing that thing, or we can be part of something better. We can be part of something that is going to produce eternal fruit, good fruit, fruit that lasts unto eternity. And that means we have to be part of the vine. We have to be ingrafted. And the Jewish people understood ingrafting very well because they would not only ingraft grapevines, but they would ingraft olive shoots. They would take olive shoots from a young tree and put those shoots into an old root system. If you've ever been to Israel, I had the opportunity to go and I truly loved it. When we were at the Garden of Gethsemane, you look at these trees that are in that garden. They're literally thousands of years old. The bases are huge, gnarly, knotty. They look like something out of the Twilight Zone. And then they've got these young shoots coming off of these gnarly stumps because over the years, they have ingrafted new shoots into these old trunks. And though the root is solid, the wood begins to give out. And isn't that how our lives are? We are only good for a certain period of time. How many of us live past the age of 100? How many of us get to 100? Only about 3% of the population of the world gets to 100 or more. Okay? That is a tiny fraction of people. So when you think about it, we're that wood that wears out, but the vine never wears out. Why does the vine never wear out? Because the vine is Jesus Christ and he is eternal. And he's connected to the root, which is the Father. So if we want to bear fruit, we've got to be connected to him. And that is abiding. The word abide, as I looked it up in the dictionary, gave me this definition. It says to accept or act in accordance with. To comply with, obey, observe, follow, keep to, hold to, conform to, adhere to, stick to, stand by, uphold, heed, go along with, acknowledge, respect, defer to. Wow. That's a huge definition as far as I'm concerned, because it's telling us that to abide, we've got to be in this thing, sold out to it. There is no other that we can cling to. And as we think about the vine and Jesus speaking his truth here, that he is the true vine, if we abide in him, that's that connection. As we were watching the video, you saw where the vine was coming up and the branch would come off. And from that place, we then see the fruit coming off. They showed another vine, another branch that didn't bear any fruit. What happened to that fruit, or what happened to that vine? It was pruned off. And even on the vine, on the branch rather, that was bearing fruit, there was a little vine there, a little branch coming off the side. Was it growing anything? No. So it was pruned. And from that pruning came forth even more fruit. So what we need to understand is God not only prunes off dead branches, branches that aren't bearing fruit, but he prunes the good branches so that we produce even more fruit. When we think about the fruit that we're supposed to bear, what kind of fruit does God want us to bring into life? Now, I don't know about you, but I have never grown a grape on my head. I mean, I've never had one pop out of me. So I don't know that that's what God's talking about, okay? I mean, I've never had a carrot pop up from under my arm, you know. I've never grown any veggies on me or you know, I've never had an apple fall off. Nope. So what's he talking about? He is talking about the fruit of our lives, the fact that we grow other Christians, that we are out there taking the word of life out to others and bringing them to the place where they become the fruit in our lives. He's also talking about us growing the church, where we are moving in ministries, where we look around, and if we look at each other here, we can see and we know some of the ministry that each of us are involved in, ministries of prayer, ministries of missions. We have ministries of reaching out to people within our community. You know, we have many different ministries. We have a group of people right now that's back teaching our children. We have discipleship teachers. We have ministry happening that grows us spiritually. So we have a numerical growth, which is the evangelism that happens. We have a spiritual growth, which is the growing of the body. And then we also have an eternal growth. A growth that keeps us not only in this life, but in the life yet to come. Because in that life, that is where we find true life. Just as Jesus is the true vine, he also brings us true life. Now, I spoke to you earlier and I said to you that God the Father is that root that Jesus is connected to. But you see, there's another part, because we cannot bear any fruit of our own. There is no fruit in us. There's no fruit in a branch. Okay, where's the fruit come from? The fruit comes from the root, because the root sends forth the sap, which goes up through the vine, into the branches, out to its extremities, and from that branch, then fruit is produced because the sap is making it happen. Who is the sap of the vine and the root? That's the Holy Spirit, brothers and sisters. That is the Holy Spirit moving in our lives and us allowing the Holy Spirit to work through us to bring others to him, to be active out there in the world, giving us the strength and the knowledge and the wherewithal to do the things of God in this life. That's why we need to abide in him. Because if we don't abide in him, if we're not part with him, then we do not have the Holy Spirit guiding us. We are guiding ourselves. And there are many people, you know, I just spoke this earlier today at our discipleship time, speaking about the church. There are many people who are going to say to Jesus at the end time, "Lord, Lord, look what I did in your name." And he's going to speak very clearly to them a word of condemnation and damnation. Because he's going to tell them, "I have no idea who you are. Get away from me. For you never did anything that my Father ever asked." And you see, that's why we need to abide in him. Because as the Father moves in us through the power of the Holy Spirit, because we're connected to the vine, we can now begin to understand what purpose he has for our lives. Many of you have come up to me and said to me, "You know, Pastor, I really feel like this, that, and the next thing." And I'll look at you and say, "Great, go do it." "Oh, well, I didn't know I was supposed to do it. I just wanted to tell you about it." So, he ain't talking to me. He's talking to you. That is the Holy Spirit moving in you to get you to produce fruit. Not me. It's not your job to make me produce fruit. You're not the Holy Spirit. Okay? But if he's talking to you and he's telling you, "Hey, there's this ministry and we want you plugged in, and boy, we could get you number." And I've had this happen from some of you, okay? You know, I think it's funny. Because I've had people come up to me and say, "Oh, Pastor, you know, I'd really like to, you know, we should do that." And I ask them, "Who's we? Do you have a mouse in your pocket?" Because there's me. Because you're the one coming. Okay? It's not we, it's me. And it's God talking through you. Because God wants you involved. God wants you wrapped up in abiding. He wants you to abide in him, to obey him. He wants you to hold to him. He wants you to be nurtured by him, to grow in him, and for him to grow in you. Because that's a relationship, okay? It's not about a religion. It's not about being in a church. okay, which, praise God, we ain't in a church. We are a church. I think that's one of the greatest aspects. People are like, well, you know, it kind of stinks because we don't have a church. Excuse me? What do you think this is? We are the church. This is a building. It's going to perish. This is a church. It will go on forever unto eternity because we're part of that vine that is growing. And I think it's so funny because we're just part of a vine. This root is huge, and it is throughout the world, and God is growing us up all over the place. We have other brothers and sisters who are out there even now. We have brothers and sisters who are out there learning. Right now, Becky and Dylan, you know, you guys are sitting there in the hospital with your dad, and you're like, wow, this is cool. Pastor's on TV. Well, guess what? So are you right now, because I can talk to you. Because your lives is what God wants to get involved in, just as he wants to get involved in our lives. And anybody else that's watching us right now, we need to understand, you need to understand that you're watching us not because you get to sit at home and be lazy, but because God is getting you to do something to move. He's getting your attention. And that's what it's about. Because he wants us to abide in him. He wants us to grow in him. The next thing that I want us to think about is how important is this abiding, okay? Number one, you know, I just spoke about the pruning and the fact that even if we bear good fruit, you know, Miss Dottie, how much fruit do you produce? As a leader in the church and everything else, she's going to say, oh, not much. You know, okay, that's Miss Dottie because she is a very humble lady and I'm picking on her right now. You know, but we all know she's involved in the parade. She's involved in discipleship. She wears more hats than I think the pastor does. Okay? And she does it well. Can I get an amen? Amen. But you know what? God wants her to make even more fruit. So that means a couple of you need to put on her hat so she can be going into other things. Because that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to come along beside each other and take up each other's crosses and help each other and grow. Because you know what? I'm going to be the pastor here at this church for I have no idea how long. Probably till I retire, about 90. Because I'm figuring he's going to take me home somewhere between now and then. But for the rest of you, I have no idea how long you're going to call this place because many people change church, okay? But the one thing I want you to understand is God has you here now for a purpose. And whatever that purpose is, you need to find it. And you need to grow in it. And you're going to grow there for a while. And then you're going to get uncomfortable. Because you're going to say, well, I can't do this no more. It's too much work. Oh, I just can't do it no more. Well, great. Let somebody younger do it, and you find out what else God wants you to do. Well, you know, don't I get to retire? No. Let's look at the next couple verses. From verse 5 to verse 8. Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up, and they gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. Now, one of the things that I want us to look at here and truly get to understand is this whole thing is about bearing fruit, isn't it? This whole abiding in him is about bearing fruit. And not just a little bit of it, but a lot of it. One of the wonderful men of God out there, his name is William Venable, Reverend William Venable. He wrote this. Now I'm going to read it. This is a quote from William Venable. In God's repetition, he is making it clear. It is not enough for God's people just to go on existing, keeping the wheels turning. maintaining the same routines, doing the same things with the same people year after year. Unless we produce fruit for God, we are failing to fulfill God's purpose, and He might as well discard us. Now, when I heard that, when I read that, the first time I read that, because I read that years ago as part of a teaching that I received when we were studying the book of John in school, it shocked me that a pastor would say such a thing. Well, you just need to be thrown out. Well, excuse me, if we have a tool that is no longer doing its job, if we have a tool that is broken, how many of us hang on to them? I'm from Pennsylvania. I know you guys. Your sheds are full of them. So are mine. Because we don't throw anything away, we might be able to fix it somewhere along the line. That's not God's ecology. God says if it's broken and it's not working, I'm getting rid of it because I can make new ones. And they will do what they're set to do. And that's what we need to remember. God has a plan and a purpose for us. And as we are abiding in Him, how many of us stayed 18? Now, you ladies, I'll cover my eyes so you don't get in trouble for lying. Okay? How many of us have stayed 18? None of us. No, not one. Some of us in our minds, we tell ourselves, you know, well, I feel like I'm 36. Yeah, right. Have you looked in the mirror lately? Have you tried to go for a jog lately? We're getting older. It's called seasons of life. Things change. We change. And we can't do some of the things we used to could, right? That's where we need to move along and allow others to come in. And our ministries change. Our lives change. We become more mature. We become the people. You know, I think this is one of the most amazing things. Do you know how many administrators God needs in His church? As many young people as there are. Because they need mentors. They need people who are going to lift them up and help them to produce fruit. Encourage them to get out there and try the things that need to be tried in this new world. And it is a new world because I'll guarantee you it's not the same place I grew up in when I was a teenager. It's constantly changing. And for us old fogies, as we're getting older, we just don't understand it. Can I get an amen? Amen. So when we need something done, we call our grandkids. Would you please program this thing so Grandpa can operate it? You know, it's pretty bad when a 55-year-old has to turn to a 5-year-old to get his VCR to work. And most of you are saying, VCR? Does anybody even have one of them anymore? But the technology continues to change. Life continues to change. And we as the church need to embrace some of that change. We don't embrace all the change that the world brings. But the things that God can use towards good, those are the things that we do. And we use them because they're tools. And we utilize the tools that God puts in our toolbox. Because if we're not willing to change, if we're not willing to grow, if we're not willing to see where God wants us to be, He's going to tear the vineyard out and He's going to start a new one. We need to be very, very mobile with the Lord, willing to grow where He wants us to grow and go and be where He wants us to be. I think it's amazing when you look at these verses. In verse 4, He uses the word abide 3 times. In verse 5, it's 1. In verse 6, it's 1. In verse 7, it's twice. In verse 9, it's 1. And in verse 10, it's 2. How important do you think abiding in God is? This entire scripture is all about abiding in Him and how important that abiding is. Because if we are not in Him, we are dead. And that is the truth that each and every one of us needs to be getting out there into this world. Because there are so many individuals out there, because that is what we have been teaching our children, that is what our world has done to us. We are individuals. When was the last time you saw a community event? How many of you older folks can remember when you were growing up, and we would go, we would have what we called a community sledding. We would all go out and we would all sled down this. The parents, the people in town would literally shut a street off. We didn't have to worry about the police doing it. The parents would shut the street down. And we would sled from the top of Hanover Street all the way downtown. It was 3/4 of a mile. One whole street shut off. And when we got to the bottom, we didn't have to walk to the top because there was an alleyway that went on the backside, and we would tie our sleds together, and the guys from downtown who had tractors would pull us back to the top. And we, the whole town, did this. And then when we're downtown, they were making hot chocolate for the kids. And there were marshmallows. And you know, everybody knew who you were. When was the last time you saw that kind of stuff happen? That was Glen Rock, Pennsylvania. We don't see that stuff anymore. Why? Because we become individuals, singular vines growing out there and having no care for anybody else. We need to remember that lest we abide in the vine, Jesus Christ, and we become that community of faith, that growth that comes together to produce that one thing, which is the kingdom of God, we have no life in us. Because the only thing worth producing is the kingdom of God. It's the only thing that will last, and it lasts through eternity. Everything we build is going to burn. Everything we build is going to burn. But everything God builds through us will last all time. How do I know that? Let's finish the scriptures from verse 9. Just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be made full. We need to understand Jesus here is truly, truly telling each and every one of us that it is the love of God that holds him and the Father together. That's the Holy Spirit. It is the love of God that holds us in him. That is the Holy Spirit. And when we are one with him, we are what? One with him. And that's forever, brothers and sisters, because our joy will be made complete. It will be made full. It will be manifested unto us as it is in the Trinity. We will want nothing more. How many of you want a life with no more want? I'm telling you right now, that is the life of Christ in us as we are in him. That is abiding. And it is not just for this life, but it is for eternity. So brothers and sisters, I just want to welcome you to the kingdom of God and let you know that our God, who says, I am the true vine, invites us to become one with him, part of him, and him part of us. Because in him, we will have life and life to the full as the Holy Spirit works in and through us to grow the kingdom, to grow the love of God in our own hearts, and to bring us into that community of faith where we finally are where we were ever meant to be, and that is in the love of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Would you pray with me? Father God, we just thank you so much for this day. And we thank you that each of our lives are so important to you, that you use whatever pruning you have to get our attention, that we would then go forth in abidance and love others as you have loved us. Lord, it's who we are as a church. We've been called to love God, love others, and go. That is abiding in you, the vine, that we may transform lives to the heart of Jesus Christ. And Lord, it has to start with this one. has to start with me. So, Father God, I pray that you would bless every me here right now and every me that's listening on the internet. Because, Lord, as you move in me, then so too can I move in the lives of others, that they may know you and that you may know them. Father, bless this our day and keep us, we pray, in the fullness of thy Holy Spirit. Amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can find us on the web at www.theheartofchristchurch.com. If you have found benefit in listening to this message, you can send us an email from our contact page, or if you would like to donate or write to us, do so at P.O. Box 1011, Quentin, PA 17083.